We enjoyed that. I think he, how old is he, brother? 12? Man, don't you wish that was what you were doing at age 12, amen? Playing in the church? Man, that's good. I enjoyed that. My wife and I, we got to go to Houston last week. And for the new parents, I was talking to Sal and Mackenzie, and they were saying, you know, we discovered that when you go on vacation, now that we're parents, the vacation is not about you getting rest, but just another place you can take care of your kids. I said, welcome to parenthood, sis, right? You know, when you go on vacation as a parent, it's not for you. You know that, right? Amen? Right? But no, we enjoyed it. Our kids got to go to a Bible day camp all day, and in the hot Houston humid heat, amen, and then into the pool in the afternoons, we enjoyed it. But there's nothing like being home, amen. And I know a lot of you are traveling. It's good to have Miss Ashley back. It's good to, I know some of the people are still traveling, it's just good to be home and in church. Let's take our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 21. So we're going to look tonight at this character of the rebel. The rebel, of course, he's epitomized in Satan himself. Remember Genesis 3, he led the rebellion of Adam and Eve against God. In Revelation 20, at the end of the Bible, he leads a rebellion at the end of the millennium against God too. So at the beginning and the end, he is the ultimate rebel. But this character of the rebel in the Bible is very enlightening because while I wouldn't characterize anyone here as a rebel, don't we all have rebellious tendencies? Hallelujah. And you might be here and you might be thinking, not me, Pastor. I am never a rebel. Praise the Lord. Come talk to me afterwards. I want to know more about that. But how many of us as parents or grandparents understand we have little rebels to deal with? Can I get a witness, right? So whatever we're dealing with, whether in ourselves or in others that we're responsible for, it is healthy to understand the biblical character of the rebel. So for that reason, we're going to take a short study and look at identification of rebellion. Because if you look past at your life when you've maybe rebelled against God, rebelled against the government or your parents or your boss, you didn't want to do what they had you to do, would you agree that you didn't think you were doing anything wrong? In fact, you thought you were doing the right thing, and they were in the wrong, and they were the enemy. Am I right? We become under this hypnosis, if you will. So we're going to look at the identification, kind of the warning signs of maybe when we get caught up in the rebel yell, I call it. We get caught up into that. And then we're going to look at some of the consequence if we stay there, which God has, and then, of course, God's remedy. I'm thankful God has a remedy for us rebels. Amen. If he didn't, man, we would be lost and without hope, Paul says. Well, let's pray, and then we'll jump into this study on the rebel. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we come to you, and I just pray, we pray as a church, you'd be with our short time here. And God, maybe this is just an off topic to some. Lord, maybe this is just something kind of out in left field, but I pray each of us, myself included, we would hear from you. We would get something helpful. We would get something maybe we could just file away even to keep our guard up against this tactic of the enemy, since he is a rebel himself and he wants to recruit us in his rebellion so that we can be submitted and obedient and your servants, Lord. And Lord, I know on a Sunday night, but Lord, I don't know every heart, but I know on a Sunday night, most are here because they want to grow. They want to seek you, Father. But if there is something in our hearts where we've been rebellious, where we've said no, where we've stuck our nose up at you, or we've just rejected the leading your Holy Spirit has maybe trying to be prompting, help us right now, we ask. Right now, God, soften our hearts, soften our will, and we pray, Father, you'd speak to us and be specific where we need to be more submissive, more obedient, Lord, so we would not get caught up in this rebellion. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first thing I want to look at tonight is the description, God's description of rebellion. You're there in Deuteronomy 21. Look at verse 18. Now, as I preach this, please know I am not preaching because Pastor Bez called me this week and said, I need to preach to you, okay? So this is not to anybody, but this is to everybody, okay? So I'm just going to get that right out there. I'm not targeting anybody, but if the Holy Spirit hits you, I am sorry, okay? So Deuteronomy 21, it's talking about the regulation of a child. And this is Old Testament. This is not New Testament. This is Old Testament theocracy. This is how the government was set up in their day, not how we operate today. All right? My five-year-old disobeys. We don't take him and stone him. I understand that. But as we read this description, Paul does tell us that the things written beforehand were written for our what, church? Our learning. It's going to teach us the mind of God about rebellion. So maybe we don't apply, right, everything doctrinally, specifically, but all Scripture is given for our reproof, our correction, our instruction in righteousness, meaning we can still pull out principles about how God thinks about this, about rebellion. Look at it in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. It says, if a man have a stubborn and what? Rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, he will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of the place, and they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he's a glutton and a drunkard, and the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die, so that thou shalt put away evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So again, this is not a prescription. This is not what God is telling you to do specifically, but we can learn what God thinks about rebellion, right? So let's look at this passage, right? It says in verse 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son. Well, this is going to help us identify some things in our own life. Because sometimes you and I are stubborn, are we not? So, you know, the Bible calls a lost man a donkey in the book of Job. That's a good picture of our stubbornness. We can become stubborn and rebellious. And then it says this, which will not obey the what? The voice of his father or the voice of his mother. This rebellious child, in his rebellion, you know what happens to him? He no longer can hear the voice of his authority. You know what happens when we become in the rebel yell, in this state of rebelling against the authority? Could be government, could be our church leadership. Hebrews 13, could be in the marriage. Ephesians 4, when we rebel against our authority, you know what happens? We become deaf to the voice of the authority God has given us in our life. Now, that's a scary place to be. He will not hearken unto the voice of his father or his mother. You know, there are infections you can get in your ear, and you can actually lose hearing. The ear has a natural defense against bacteria, but sometimes if it gets in the inner ear, you can lose the hearing. All right? Another common loss of hearing today is pre-bicuspis. And if you didn't hear me, that's pre-bicuspis. That's what happens when you get older. Amen. After about 60, you start losing, right, that hearing ability. And you know what I see is there are some similarities to us losing the ability to hear the authority in our life, right? An infection, if you will, is much like wrong thinking. Wow. I can't submit to that, right? I didn't vote for that president. Remember, we heard that. I didn't. And you know, in Romans, if we had time to go there, you know, you and I are called to obey the government that is ordained by God over us. As long as it doesn't contradict God's word, we're to submit to that. That's a pretty high calling. Hey, man. You realize that when we say, I didn't vote for that, or I didn't, unless it's against a command in the scripture, you and I are supposed to hear that as an authoritative voice in our life, right? It's also, you know why we see, I don't mean to get political, but why we see so much trouble in our day, these destructive riots, and I'm not talking about peaceful, but the ones, you know, robbing Adidas stores, because, you know, that shows the protest against the government, right? You know what that is? They didn't learn to obey the authority at home, and so it led to them disobeying the authority in the government. And it's right here in this passage, if you don't believe me. They didn't listen to father and mother, and so in verse 19, they lay hold on him and bring him out until the who? The elders. You see, when you disobey the authority here, it leads to a rebellion against a higher authority. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, if I had a better boss, I would be a better worker. No, because you know what I see all the time? People change jobs and they don't become better workers, right? A better husband, a better parent, a better government is not the answer. It's stubborn rebellion. And we see that here. He's not listening to mother and father. He's not listening to the elders. You know, you imagine this scene here. They lay hold on him, right? And they bring him out to the elders. You know what happens in our rebellion? It never stays private. You know, the rebellion of Genesis 3. They thought they could hide it with fig leaves, right? But it did not stay private. You know, they bring him out to these elders, and I'm sure the mother is beside herself. The father is blaming himself, right? But we see here the problem is not the father. The problem is not the authority at home. The problem is not the elders. The problem is not the authority in government. The problem is this young man's rebellion, this young man's stubbornness. It gets you to a place where you'll no longer hear the voice of authority in your life. No longer hear the voice of authority in your life. But unfortunately, this is a picture of us. This is a picture of us when we will not submit ourselves to our authority. God is comparing us here to a destructive child. Because look at what he says here in verse 20. It says, they shall say unto the elder of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. And then look at this. He is a glutton and a drunkard. A glutton and a drunkard. Now, we live in a country which is very blessed. We don't suffer from too little food. We suffer from too much. Can I get a witness? Right? Sister Michelle and her blessing is bringing me cookies I have to say no to. Hallelujah. Right? Other places you go, it's not like that. If you visit other countries, if other places in the world, they might have one or two meals a day. We have five or six meals if we wanted it. What am I getting at? In this, we kind of lose the cultural significance that this boy, this young man, has become a glutton. Imagine you're in an agrarian system and you've had stored food up for your family for the rest of the year, because harvest only comes how often? One time, right? And this young man, he's eaten what was meant to sustain the family for the whole year. It's similar, you could understand it culturally from a wine bibber or a drunkard. In this day and age, it was not like, hard alcohol. It was a low alcoholic content of the wine, so that means he would have had to drink a lot of it to become a drunkard. What am I getting at? He's wasted what was meant to sustain his and his family's future. You know, in your rebellion, you will waste precious resources God has given you for your future. You know, you can do that with your health, right? A car accident, doing things out of rebellion, amen? You can do that with money, the prodigal, right? He went into the far country and wasted his father's substance, right? These things were meant to sustain a family, meant to sustain that individual, but rebellion will bring you to a place where you waste what was meant to sustain. What is it? A destructive child. A destructive child. And you might look at that verse back into Deuteronomy 21, look back at verse 20 and think, man, that is harsh. That is harsh. In verse 21, it says, all the men of this city shall stone him with stones. You know what God gives as the reason? And again, he's not saying we do this today. I understand that. But it's the mind and heart of God about rebellion. You know why he's saying you have to stone him? He says it in the verse. To put evil away from among you, because rebels recruit. Rebels recruit. Think about your own life, the times you might have strayed from God or rebelled from your parents or rebelled at the workplace. I don't know, something small, something large. Did you ever do it alone? No. Amen. Rebels always recruit. And the idea is, if they don't put this away or punish and address this rebellion, it's going to spread. However, if you stand up and punish the rebellion, it says that many shall fear. Many shall fear. Israel shall fear. What is that? If I stand up and punish rebellion, instead of rebellion spreading, righteous living spreads. You know, I'll never forget, I don't know if it was Brother Holland or someone, I think there was a brother in the church, and they told me when they were deployed, everyone has their rifle on them. And as they go around the city, and even though it's a Middle Eastern culture, everyone is respectful of the law. Why? Because everyone has a rifle. Right? What is that? That fear that sin and crime will be punished and executed upon, it raises the level of righteousness. You know what that convicts me of as a parent? I cannot let little disobedience get away. Amen? Right? Or as a Christian, I cannot let a little sin have its way. Why? Because it'll spread. It'll spread, but you execute vengeance, right? James talks about, and all of a sudden, it'll raise that level of righteousness. You know, when we're rebellious, God compares us to a destructive child. We waste the things that were meant to sustain us. We stop hearing the voice of our authority. And honestly, we just are destructive to ourselves, right? You know, he also compares us to something else. Let me show you this. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 9, he gives a second example of identifying. So again, when we're throwing our little tantrums, right, when the boss asks you to do something that you feel is beneath you, when your pastor steps on your toes and, you know, didn't pick the color carpet that you wanted or didn't recognize, you know, that you purchased this for the church, and I've heard it all, you realize this is not about the pastor, amen? Although he can be a knucklehead sometimes if it's me, right? This is not about your husband. This is not about the government per se. This is about, am I going to be a destructive little child, right? And then he compares us to an untrainable animal. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 29. The Bible says, Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 29. And this is God and Israel, and he's comparing Israel to this untrainable animal. He says, and testified against them that thou mightest bringest again to thy law, yet they dealt proudly, hearken not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And then it says this. It says at the end of verse 29, withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Really quick, what you would have in an agrarian culture is you would have an ox. And this ox was the powerhouse, if you will. The powerhouse of plowing and all these things. And what they would do with these oxen is they would put these yokes on these oxen. And these yokes allowed the strength of the ox to be controlled and used as a machine in the production of wheat and all kinds of crops. Now, what it's talking about is God tried to place some responsibility on Israel to follow the law, some work ethic upon Israel to keep his testimonies. And it says they withdrew the shoulder. It's saying he tried to put the yoke on them as the ox, and the ox knocked the yoke off. Right? Have you ever had a dog that would not obey you? Right? That was just unruly, and you tried to teach it simple commands. Right? He's saying, look, when we rebel, we pull our shoulder away. What is that talking about? The first thing that you can identify in your life as rebellion is you start slacking on your God-given responsibilities. Do we have that in our country today? Yeah. Right? Why? My mother-in-law said this, so if you want to be mad at me, don't be mad at me, okay? She said, women today don't want to learn how to cook and to clean. Wow. I didn't say it, my mother. And you know what I said to her? You're right. And men don't want to work. What is that? Rebellion. Stubbornness. God has given us responsibility, and we kind of want to like say, nope, no thank you. No thank you. You know what else we see this? We see this in the home, right? We see this at work. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, when you labor as unto the Lord and not as unto... Amen, church? The next time you're at work, remember, I am not flipping burgers at McDonald's. I am not cleaning. I am not doing accounting. I'm not a lawyer. I am not a mother, stay-at-home mother, whatever your occupation is. I'm not an office worker for this boss, but the boss. Right? You do it as unto the Lord and not as unto men. What is that? God has given you this yoke, and when you submit at work to doing it as unto the Lord, you're submitting it as unto God. The same is in a marriage. Do we always want to reverence our husbands? Do we always want to love our wives and lead our wives? No. A lot of men, they'd rather sit on the couch, watch football, and let the wife do all the raising of the kids. Right? What is that? Throwing off the yoke, it's rebellion. God has given you some responsibility, men. Right? You're responsible to have a job. You're responsible, if you have a family, to provide for that family. You're responsible. Doesn't stop at the church, or the home. You're responsible here at the church as well, right? I love what Brother Holland said. If this was your house, what are you doing to clean your house? Amen? We are a family. What are we doing to help our family? You know, my wife says this to our kids. She says, we're all going to do our chores. And my kids, well, do we get prizes or do we get money or do we get something? She said, no, we do it because this is our house. Amen. You know what God says? If a man provide not for his own household, he is worse than an... And I understand in the context, he's talking about, you know, aunts and uncles and, you know, they didn't have Social Security, like, hey, let's take care of our own. But could we not apply that to the house of God, the spiritual church, right? We have response. And why am I getting on this? To encourage you, if you're in the work and you have yoke, hey, keep doing, keep plowing. But also to identify, when you start getting in the rebel yell, when you start getting in the rebellion zone, one of the first things to go is you're going to start slacking on your God-given responsibilities. Oh, I don't really want to do that at church. Oh, I don't want to have to teach that lesson. Oh, I don't really have to work with the kids. I don't want to have to do nursery. I don't want to have to do sound. I don't want to preach. Am I right? What is that? That rebellion in us. If you start to notice that, recognize that was one of the keys that Israel started to do in their rebellion. They they threw the yoke off. And then it says this, they hardened their neck. They hardened their neck. Another animal, great animal. I mean, who wouldn't want to be compared to a good old donkey, right? You know the other word for that, am I right? And still people compare others to that. What is this? This is the donkey. And this donkey, right, he has these reins or a whip. But it says he would harden his neck. What is that talking about? The one who wants the donkey to pull a cart or to go and pull the goods down this path because they didn't have, you know, semi-trucks. The donkey was their ability to get goods and stuff out. And if they wanted to turn, they would pull the reins or they'd use a small cord and the donkey would respond to that and turn. But who here has been on a horse and you tried to pull or you tried to tell it to go somewhere and the horse was not doing what you wanted it to do? That is a fearful moment. Amen? And God is saying, look, this is how our relationship is when you rebel. I try to correct you. I try to teach you. I try to use a little bit of chastening in your life to get your attention. And you harden your neck. You're like, nah, I'm not going that way. Oh, well, you know, the car's out again for the third time this week. Or, you know, you're getting sick because you're probably doing too much. Or you're getting a little overweight because you're not really working hard. And you're trying to, you know, drown your sorrows with food. I don't know. And he gets our attention, doesn't he? Am I the only one? He says, hey, Ashton, wake up. Wake up. And you know what we do in our rebellion? We harden our neck. Oh, that's not God. That's just coincidence, right? You know, some people are more tough for their own good, right? It's good to be tough, but can I tell you, when the Lord chastens you, when he disciplines you, and you don't respond, you're normalizing the pain in your life that God meant for just a moment to get you to change directions. To change directions. You know this verse? The Bible says that to whom much is given, much is also required. And many of you here are parents. Many of you here teach a Sunday school or are involved in music or have authority in the church, influence in the church. Can I tell you this? As God raises your influence and your leadership up, he expects you to be more responsive when he gives you, hey, change this direction. Hey, stop this. How do I know this? Moses. The Bible says about Moses, he was the most meek man on the earth. He was not a proud man. He was a very humble man. Yeah, he did not boast. He was not lifting up himself. He was all about a servant. But yet, when God told Moses to speak to the rock the second time to have the water flow out, Moses, angry at those rebels of people, he took his staff and he became a rebel himself. And he hit that rock, and because God said, you have not justified or esteemed me in the eyes of Israel. Everyone was watching you, Moses. Moses, they know my hand is on you. Moses, they know you shine because you and I talk. Moses, they know you're the one that goes up to the mountain to talk to God and comes down. Moses, you are God's man, and because you're God's man, I expect a higher level from you. And you weren't responsive to my leading. So because of that, you cannot go into the promised land. You cannot go in. That seems a little harsh. You know why that is, though? It's this principle. As you're leading, as you're an example in the church, in your home, when he pulls and you don't, and you harden your neck and you say, no, I don't really want to do that. Man, he has to now make an example of that because you're leading others. You're showing others the way. Just like with Moses. You know, the devil wants us to be convinced that our sin doesn't hurt other people. But the exact opposite is true. If God is trying to guide you and to redirect you, and you harden that neck and say, I don't want you to guide me, I don't want you to redirect me, I like what I'm doing, I like where I'm going, right? If he is doing that, be very sensitive, because he might have to correct you and correct you publicly like he did Moses. He took off, he went up to the mountain, he disappeared. Why? So that they know disobedience cannot be endorsed. Dr. Adrian Rogers, he said this, a little license in the pulpit, you know, you just do something little when you're a leader, he says, will lead to great lasciviousness in the church. Because you're a leader, you have to take a higher standard to God's expectations and guidance and leadership. And what am I saying? These are all signs or descriptions of when we fall into rebellion. We become destructive like a child. We don't want to hear our authority. We exalt ourselves, our own wants. We become destructive of the things God's given us. Think about the ox. The ox, he's powerful, he's strong, but because he will not obey the work, the responsibility God's given him, it's wasted. His strength is no good while he's standing around being lazy. And then we think of the donkey. He can't be guided. This is all a description of the rebel. Well, that's all we have time for tonight. Maybe we'll be able to finish the rest of this another week. But let me leave you with this. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Romans 5 and verse 9. I wanted to get into the consequence. I wanted to get into the remedy. But let me just leave you with one thought of the remedy. In Romans 5 verse, let's see what verse I want. I want to look down actually at Romans 5 and verse 19. Verse 19. The Bible says this in Romans 5 verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience or rebellion, many, and this is talking about Adam, right, when he took of the fruit, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, right? And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about. When you're an influence, when you're a leader, do not underestimate the cost of rebellion. A lot of times when we're in a rebellion, we think, well, it can't get worse, but it can always what? Get worse. We think, oh, no one's affected, but yes, people are affected. Adam disobeyed, and he cursed the human race, right? Rebellion as a cost. But look at this thought back in Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. But then it says this, so by the obedience of how many? One. That's talking about Christ, of course. Shall many be made what? Righteous. Think about the time in your life when you surrendered and submitted to God's will. Right. And think about all the people that have been changed by that. All the people that have been influenced by one decision to surrender, to obey God's will. Elizabeth Elliot, she had this quote. You might ask, who is Elizabeth Elliot? Elizabeth Elliot had her missionary husband killed by the Auca Indians as he was trying to go into an inner Amazonian tribe to reach them. They thought that he was a threat. They speared him in fear. And she went in. She went in and she befriended the very men and families of those who killed her husband. And she said this. She said, true freedom is found the moment you surrender to God's will. You know, a lot of people, they think, well, if I rebel against God and I reject the authority, man, then I'll have true freedom, true liberty. I'll do what I want. But Elizabeth Elliot, one surrender to God's will to go back to the place that was probably where those men and women had killed her husband, all those tribes became Christian. By one act of obedience, many were made righteous. When Christ submitted and surrendered to the will of God, when he took up responsibility, when he was able to be sensitive to the guiding of the Holy Spirit, right? When he was mature and he acted in obedience, many were made righteous. Just like rebellion can have a huge effect, the blessing tonight is one act of obedience and surrender to authority can have a huge effect. So maybe this week you're out at the workforce, or you're in the home, or you're in the church, and the authority in your life directs you to a certain way. Remember, you're not laboring as unto men, but as unto God. You're not submitting as unto their authority, but unto God's authority. And one act of obedience can have a ripple effect of seeing many come closer to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Father, for your faithful tonight. I pray, Lord, that God, we would be sensitive to your leading. We would not harden our necks. We would not be like immature, rebellious children, not wanting to listen to the voice of our authority. And Lord, if there's something tonight that you've been trying to redirect us on, maybe there's even been a little bit of chastening, a little bit of, Lord, no, maybe no one else even knows it or feels it, but we've felt it, and we've not surrendered to your will where you've tried to correct us. Lord, maybe tonight we would just say, Lord, I'm identifying it. I'm identifying tonight that I've been rebellious to you in this area. You've called on me to change this. I've sensed your spirit to showing me to do this, and I haven't yet. And maybe you're not necessarily committing to a whole change, but you'd be open tonight to at least identifying that you've been deceived into rebellion in that area of your life. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian yet. You've never put your faith and trust in what Christ did on the cross. You know, the Lord, he offers freedom and forgiveness to all rebels. He shed his blood, and he was obedient so that many could be made righteous. And if you've never done that, would you grab myself or Pastor Bez on your way out and ask more? But let's leave tonight with this prayer. Lord, would you just identify to me this week, whether something small or something large, where I've been rebellious, and help me to be instead obedient and surrendered to your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand. Brother Isaiah, you come.